Today, we've got in our hot seat Brian Murphy, and he's the CEO at SmartLink. So very nice to have you here, Brian.
Great, thanks for having me.
So do you feel ready for this? Shall we do it?
No, but let's go.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are NIMSY's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
Brian, can you tell us in one sentence what it is that SmartLink does?
Sure. SmartLink is a technology-enabled services company that helps companies, our customers, create multilingual websites, marketing applications, web and mobile applications, customer experiences, anything that needs to be translated or localized, we use technology to help them do that.
And when you were a child, did you expect to become the CEO of a company? Or asking it differently, what was it that you were dreaming of?
Yeah, no. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a tree surgeon. The guys that have the spikes on their feet and would go up with the chainsaw. That's really what I wanted to be when I was a kid.
Wow. That's very unique. I've never heard that before.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. But fortunately, that's not the way it worked out.
No.
Fortunately for the trees.
Yeah. Still climb trees? Or do you have kids? Do your kids?
Oh yeah, I used to climb. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to climb trees all the time. And then in my neighborhood, there was always these folks that were going up in the trees and sawing off the limbs and doing all that kind of stuff. I just thought that looked like great fun.
Wow. So where do you live then, or did you live?
Yeah, I grew up outside Detroit, Michigan. And so we had a lot of trees there. I actually then moved to Connecticut, which is evidently has the most trees per square foot of any of the states, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So, I think that's why I moved there.
Nice. I can relate. I was a fellow tree climber as a child, going way too high and then swaying in the wind with the trees, not knowing how to get down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that's scared of everything. So I just went up the lowest branches and as long as I could.
It's always been fun. And then when I was in college, I washed windows. So I guess I'm not afraid of heights.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. Brian, when you're not working, do you still spend your time up on heights? Or how do you spend it?
No, I saw this question, like, what do you do when you're not working? And my answer is work.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm a year into this business and to this industry. And I personally think it's super fun. It's super interesting. I love global businesses. I love creating outcomes for customers. And I just find it to be fascinating. So I just kind of like poured myself into it 100%.
So we can almost say that it's your work is your hobby, or is that going?
Yeah, I've always kind of been that way. My work is my hobby. What's that saying? I can't remember where it goes, but if you enjoy what you do, you never have to work.
Never have to work a day in your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the chance to travel again? And if so, what are some countries that you would like to visit?
Oh, that's a great, yes. We started traveling again. I had the opportunity to go to, we were in Berlin for Loke World earlier in the year. We have an office in Dublin and spent some time in Germany. And so where would I like to go? I'm anxious to get back to Japan again. I went to school there when I was a kid and have been doing business there for 20 years. I love Tokyo and Japan, so I'm looking forward to getting back there, I think. And kind of starting to put together a full slate of travel heading into the new year. Excited to get back on the road again.
Thanks. Wow. Do you speak Japanese?
Hai, dozo. Nibiru Kurosai. That's it. I know how to order two beers in Japanese. No, I used to. Now, goes away pretty fast.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it goes away fast, but it also never really goes away, I think, with languages, you know?
Yeah, it was fun. When I was there not too long ago, and it was remarkable how fast, at least listening, it kind of comes back. Like, oh, okay, I kind of remember this, but it's really, I have a hard time speaking it, but I can listen okay.
So my last question is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
That to me is easy. It's always hit your numbers. So I was fortunate to have many great mentors in my career, but particularly in my early years, I remember getting that particular piece of advice, and it's one I've always heeded and always recommended. But and because it means a lot of things, it's it means putting together your plan, believing in your plan, and executing against your plan. You do that, you hit your numbers, and people like it when you hit your numbers.
Yeah. Did SmartLink's fiscal year start now in January?
Yep.
So you'd already did your number crunching at the end of last year, or are you like me that you're still planning?
The dust is pretty much settled. We had a really great year. Continuing to grow, and it's such a great business to be a part of. And I think I had a great time getting to know, once again, the industry, the customers, our company, our products, and the opportunities to help our customers. And, I think we did pretty well last year, and I'm excited for 23, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, Brian, we got to know you a little bit better now. I think we're on a nice personal level. So it's time for the tougher questions.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we'll ease you into it, though, because I'm actually curious to know what brought you to the language industry. Like, why did you choose this industry for yourself?
Sure. Well, I came on. So I've known Battery, who's one of our big investors, and I've known them for many years. And they called me. They said, "Hey, listen, we're thinking about this whole translation localization space. Can we help us think about it?" And the more I looked, the more I liked. You know, it's called a $30 billion industry that has, I think, a huge impact on companies globally, right? It's a big global business. It's fairly fragmented, and technology in it has been like, okay, but opportunities for really significant improvement. And when we looked at SmartLink, we looked at a bunch of companies, SmartLink just stood out with just such an incredible, set of products and engineers and capabilities that it really felt like that's where the industry was going. And I think that when you look at what we're doing for our customers, we've been able to reduce our customers' cost per word by about 60% over the last 36 months. Wow. And that's being driven by three things primarily. One is AI in our TMS, our translation management platform. Number two is automation and integrations. And number three is helping our customers optimize translation mix. And what I mean by that is, if you think about human translation at 17 cents a word versus machine translation at, fraction of a penny, and MTPE, pick a number in between. Most companies, I think many companies are not aware of the advancements in MT and MTPE in just the last few years and the continuing acceleration. So by helping our customers understand that, consult with them on translation mix, against use case, we're helping our customers really achieve significant outcomes in terms of, increasing the scope of, the amount of content they're able to translate, and at increasingly more efficient rates. And so if you kind of look at my history or my background, that's the thing I love to do, is to come into industries that are a little sort of like, slow maybe, and introducing technology to really dramatically accelerate a change in efficiency.
I actually don't know much about your background from before, but I'm curious to know, what was your first breakthrough moment in your career overall? Was there something that stands out to you?
Yeah, I think, so one of my first companies was a SaaS company in the automotive industry. I'm from Detroit. And so, everything was about auto. Everything I knew was about automotive. So my partner and I launched this e-commerce SaaS company selling auto parts. And I remember having a meeting with the CEO and his whole leadership team at AutoZone, which is the largest auto parts retailer in North America at the time. And, you know, when we told him that we wanted to, that we had a solution that would sell parts online, he laughed at us. The whole team like laughed at us. He said, there's no way people will buy parts online. And, you know, now, you know, that business is selling well over $2 billion a year, or actually now it's probably close to $5 billion. And I think 60% is the total number of a percentage of parts being sold online. So I always like that to me was I like challenges like that. Mm-hmm. And I think about what's happening in translation, right? Everyone's like, oh, you know, well, there's a certain way we do things. And I like to challenge that a little bit and say, I think there's a better way. And I think that's what we're doing at SmartLink.
Wow. That's crazy. I love hearing those stories. I talked to someone recently also who mentioned that when he first heard that movies were going to be watched online and released online as well, that he was like, the quality will never be good enough and the internet is way too slow. And now look at today, right?
So. Right? It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Change is happening super fast.
Exactly. So then looking back at your career again, what was in like the biggest challenge you ever had to overcome and what did you learn from it as well?
Yeah, that was probably one of them, getting folks to change their opinion of things. I think another was, I worked at eBay for a few years after my company was bought. And one of the businesses I ran there was eBay Motors. And I remember like having a similar conversation where, you know, we had this idea, you know, and we were eBay was selling cars online, right? And everyone was at the time said, okay, no one's going to buy a car online. That's ridiculous. And by the time we left eBay, we were selling $4 billion a year in cars online. So it was another one of those things is figuring out, a lot of this is about product and what the customer wants and, mm-hmm. You know, doing that discovery and say, what's the problem they've got and what problem are they trying to solve? And then, you know, building, engineering a product that will do that and then communicating that value. So that seems to be, you know, like sort of, that's sort of like the rules of the road for, you know, for technology innovation. I think that's one of the things I enjoy doing is thinking about and trying to solve those problems.
That's incredible. And I think you touched upon something really important there as well. And something we talk about at NIMSY quite a bit as well with looking at what the clients really want or what they really need versus what they might initially say they want or need and to really dig a little deeper and, you know, not just look at the symptoms, but at the real problem and how you can best solve that and come in with a better solution, maybe.
Yeah, ideally. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So then today, everybody defines success a little differently. It's a very personal thing, I think. What does success mean to you? How do you define success?
You know, we don't have very long on this earth, right? You know, time goes by pretty fast. So I think it's really important, you know, to enjoy what you're doing. You know, if we spend however many hours a day working, you better make sure that you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. You better feel like you're progressing. So I, at least for myself personally, you know, I like to feel like I'm succeeding and setting goals and achieving those goals, enjoying the people that I work with and having an impact, you know, on them and on their careers. And so for me, that's important. And then also making sure that I've got time to enjoy my life outside of work, you know, with family and with friends. And so I think it's really important just to keep that balance.
Couldn't agree more. And on the business side, in your current role as CEO and at SmartLink as well, how do you measure success from the business perspective? Is it mostly hitting the numbers, like you said, or what else is there to it?
Yeah, growth in EBITDA.
Okay, a numbers guy. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to run a business by the numbers, right? So that's the critical thing because you got to generate free cash flow that, you know, pays for innovation, pays for product development, pays for, for paying people salaries and all that. So that's important. But once again, I think it goes to two things. I think about our stakeholders, which are our customers, right? So creating great outcomes for them. Are we solving problems for them and creating great outcomes? And that's fun to solve problems for them. That's why I mentioned that. That's one of the things that's fun to do. I also think it's fun to build. I enjoy building careers or helping people build their careers. You know, I remember when I was 25, or so. I remember thinking, like, why is this person paying attention to me? Why are they even listening to me? Right. And when you get on the other side of that, you start realizing why. It's because, like, when you get to, like, my point in my career, you get an interest, you develop an interest in developing other people's careers. It's fun because you need someone to come behind and, like, do your thing. And so when you see someone that's really, raises their hand and leans into things, has a lot of energy, wants to be a part of the solution, that's fun. That's exciting. You want to reach out and take that person and help develop them.
Not on the one hand, it's, of course, like you said, there's always going to be new people that need to join and fill roles eventually. But it's also great to just support someone and pass on your own knowledge, right? All the stuff you learned in your career.
Yeah, I know, it's fun. I felt really blessed to have, like I said, as I mentioned earlier, some really great mentors in my career that helped me. And so you kind of pass it along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. Anything that stands out, actually, because I have a question about mentors as well on my list. Usually I would have asked you, do you have a mentor? It sounds like you either do or did. What was the main thing you learned from your mentors? Is there something that you can recall?
We were joking earlier, maybe this is my personality, right? So I like to climb trees and I was a window washer. Okay. So obviously, like, there's a degree of risk taking that I'm comfortable with. And that's sort of like my bias. And so, like, I've always sort of been unafraid to take risks. And, you know, this mentor really helped me develop that from tree climbing to a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And when I said, hey, I've got an idea, you know, for a business, he said, great, I'll back you. We'll be 50-50 partners on it. So he put his capital in, I put my capital in. Actually, it's funny, really funny conversations. I said, well, I'll put the sweat capital in, the sweat equity in, and you put the money. He's like, I don't believe in sweat equity. He's like, money's money. So I'll match what you put in. So I was like, wow, okay. So I did that. And, it was really an incredible experience because when I look back at that, like, that was really an outstanding thing that he did because he didn't have to. Like, and it was sort of like irrelevant for him. It was like a little teeny idea that turned into something really great. But I always look back on that he really kind of reached out and gave me an opportunity to do something pretty amazing. And so, you know, do you want to try and be that person later in your, or at any part of your career, to be that person to try and help people out that way? But getting back to the risk thing is, if you got to be willing to take risks in business, I think, to really kind of move the needle.
I'm curious to know how you motivate your team, because this is a question I like to ask in general, but especially these days. And when we're coming out of a time where we had the great resignation, these days people are talking about quiet quitting. So what do you do to make sure people are motivated and want to be all in and want to stay and stick around and have a good time?
Yeah. To me, it's a few things. I think I think it's really important. You know, one of the pillars of that is that people need to feel like they've got opportunities for growth. I try and work hard to do that, whether it's financially or from a career progression perspective. That's a part of it, but it can't be the only thing. There's also got to be mission there, right? So one of the reasons why I joined Smartly too is I really do believe in the mission. I think we have a great mission, you know, to help. If you think about what we do, which is help companies and individuals, you know, connect with the broader world, right, through translation and localization. It's just a great mission. So that to me, I think, is the second pillar, which is really, really important. And then thirdly, once again, it kind of goes back to, like, what we're talking about earlier. It's like, how do you want to spend your life? I also want to have fun too. You know, I think, to me, as a CEO, it's a hard job because you have to set the goal. Okay, you got to make your numbers. I'm a numbers person. We got to do our jobs, right? And so sometimes that's a fun conversation and sometimes that's not a fun conversation, but you have to have those conversations. But outside of that, everything else is like, let's have some fun. You know what I mean? It's like, we're all hanging around together for 10 hours a day or whatever. Yeah. It's like, we don't need, it doesn't, let's not make it a grind. Let's keep it fun.
That sounds really good to me. So my last question, then you've made it, you know, then you're off the hook. You made it through the hot seat. Is what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
A couple pieces of advice. Number one is you have to take, I encourage risk, like, especially if you're a young person. I always look at resumes. Like, let's say that someone comes to me and let's say they were working for some company and then they went off for a year or two and tried something and it bombed, right? They come to me and I see that on the resume. I'm like, awesome. You know what I mean? This is a person that had, that took a risk, has massive initiative, and made a go of it. It didn't work out. Who cares? Like, if you're in the startup business, like I've been in, like, you only hear about the successes. Like, everyone's like, yeah. There was actually a great article, I think it was in the journal, talking about some venture firms that are now posting like anti-portfolios. Like, everyone bombs, okay? Everyone bombs, myself included. And you just got to get up and dust yourself off and you move on to the next and you learn from it. So take the risk is number one. And then number two is, really make sure that you're focusing on solving a customer problem, a real customer problem, right? That's really critically important. There's an ROI for the customer. Mm-hmm. So if the customer spends $100 on whatever it is that you're selling, they're going to make $300 in a way. Because a lot of people miss that and then you're never going to make it. And the final piece on this is, and this is what I love about technology, is make sure that your business is going to make money.
Yeah.
Sometimes people miss this too, right? Like, there's no gross margin or it requires a ton of capital. Those are really, really hard businesses to be successful in.
That's really great advice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love it. Brian, thank you so much. I actually took note of that.
I was just thinking, yeah. I see you taking notes here, all the advice. Yeah.
I'm gonna quote you on LinkedIn, but I will send you a message before I do that so that you can approve it. But I liked it a lot. Thank you. And as you are such a risk taker, I don't think that we made you sweat too much.
I'm always sweating. I sweat everything. So anyways, it was great talking with you guys. I really appreciate the time that I got to spend with you and talking.
It was really great.
Great.
Thank you as well, Brian. And if anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services or technology industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers at home, this was it for today, folks. Thank you so much for watching and for listening. And watch out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.